Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. Hope that you are having a great day. All right, man, I'm in a good mood. It's Monday. Like, aren't you in a great mood on Mondays? I'm in a great mood. I'm at my desk. I'm working. I'm serving. I'm trying to make people's lives better. I'm trying to be a force for good. Trying to be a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making me happy. Once again, thank you, George Bernard Shaw, for that quote. I was on a group coaching call recently, and I told the group, I said, like, look, guys, this is not a competition. This is not a competition, but I think I am the most grateful person in the world. If someone is more grateful than me, I'm happy for that person. This is not a competition. Because I will tell you, I feel like I'm the most grateful person in the world. And the feeling, just the way that I feel, it's awesome. And if you could get more gratitude than this, that would be incredible. And I would be so happy for that person. One of the best compliments I have ever received, it was from someone who went through our course, Peak Performance Fundraising. And he said that going through our training, going through Peak Performance Fundraiser, made him a more grateful person all around. Of course, we talk a lot about being grateful to your donors. But he said, look, Clark, I'm not just more grateful to my donors. I'm more grateful for everything. He said he was more grateful for his waitress, right? Like everything. So let me tell you two things. Okay, this is a subtle segue. Let me tell you two things that I am really thankful for. I am thankful for my gym, okay? I have a workout room in my home. It's great. My family set it up for me, or the bones of it. I've talked about it, I think, on the podcast before. I should do some videos from my gym. I should post it, at least post a couple of pictures on social media. My family set up the bones of this gym for me for Father's Day last year, and I've added a few things to it, done some upgrades to it over the past year or so. It's a pleasant space, and being in the gym makes me happy. I'm thankful for it. And I've got a great big TV in there, and I'm thankful for Masterclass, which is something I'm often watching when I am in my gym. My wife makes fun of me. I'm really big on the pacing of Masterclass. I'm like, because I don't want to watch them so fast. I want to like watch them at an appropriate pace. And so every now and then I'll be like, I can't watch Masterclass today because I'm still processing what I've learned, and I have to find other filler things. But I am just loving it. So if you have not listened to it yet, you should go back and listen to episode 171 of the podcast, episode number 171. That is where I talk about the masterclass on purposeful communication with George Stephanopoulos, who you may know from ABC's Good Morning America, or Meet the Press, or the Clinton administration. In this episode, I'm going to share some thoughts, some highlights on Michael Lewis's masterclass on how to tell a great story. And I thought, because I looked at it as I'm looking through, right, every time it's time for me to start a new podcast, I'm always trying to, like, where am I mentally right now? Kind of what do I want to focus on? And I thought Michael Lewis is a great teacher for me because he is a nonfiction writer talking about how to tell a great story. And there are other masterclasses, lots of masterclasses on writing, by the way. Many taught by fiction writers. What's Neil Gaiman, Dan Brown, Salman Rushdie, Judy Blume, among some of the fiction writers. And I am sure that I have something to learn from these fiction writers. But I live in a nonfiction world. Like, I tell a nonfiction story. Major Gifts Fundraiser, the work that we do for our clients, is a nonfiction story. When we are helping a client craft a message, they are telling a nonfiction story. And so I just thought Michael Lewis is going to be great. He has something to teach me. Okay. If you don't know who Michael Lewis is, in preparation for this podcast, I did pull up his biography on Wikipedia. Michael Monroe Lewis is an American author and financial journalist. He has also been a contributing editor to Vanity Fair since 2009, writing mostly on business, finance, and economics. He is known for his nonfiction work, particularly his coverage of financial crises and behavioral finance. Okay, three of his books have been turned into movies. And I'm guessing that even if you don't know the name Michael Lewis, you know some of these movies. Two of them are sports movies. They're not sports books, but they are sports movies. He uses sport to tell a story. If I wrote a book and the lead character of my book, when they were going to turn it into a movie, if Brad Pitt was going to play the lead role, I'd be like, yeah, I think this was a pretty successful book. Brad Pitt starred in the lead role for the movie Moneyball, which was based on the book Moneyball by Michael Lewis. He also wrote The Blind Side, the story of Michael Orr's rise from a homeless teen to an NFL star. So those are the two sports books. The movie The Big Short is based on the book The Big Short by Michael Lewis. And this is on financial crisis, when the markets were melting down. This is 2008. And he just realized, like, if all these big banks were failing, it just dawned on him finally that someone was making a killing. Somebody had bet against the big banks. And who were those people? And that's The Big Short. Moneyball isn't about baseball. It's about how to find people who are undervalued. The Blind Side is about trends. It's about the rising value of the left tackle in the National Football League. Michael Lewis has written more than 20 books. His first, Liar's Poker, was about his time at Solomon Brothers as a bond salesman in the 1980s. He's written on cryptocurrency, the collapse of FTX. He made a book on sovereign debt fun to read. That's saying something. By the way, I have not read that book, but it is in my cart on Amazon. All right, I'm going to tell you some of the big takeaways from his masterclass. Here's the big one. All right, I'm just going to cut to the chase. The big takeaway on how to tell a good story for you as a nonprofit organization, how to tell your story. Here's the big takeaway. Telling your story well is hard work. It's hard work. My experience is that most people don't do this hard work. So I've talked about this over the years about how it doesn't matter if you think it's clever. It doesn't matter if you think it's good. You need to really pay attention when you're telling your story. When do you lose people's interest? And over the years, I've had things, particularly when I've worked for an organization for a long time, like going back to my days at the Reagan Ranch. I would occasionally have a story or a talking point or a, a line that I thought was really good. I just observed every now and then I'd get one of these lines that I thought was good, and I observed that it fell flat, and I had to have the discipline to pay attention to that. And I just find that most people aren't willing to do this hard work. And I'll tell you that when Michael Lewis writes a book, he's doing hard work. And you may be good at telling your story. In fact, I bet you are. I bet you're good at telling your story. I bet that's why you got hired as the development director or the executive director or whatever. It was like, hey, here's Sarah, and Sarah is articulate, and Sarah is a go-getter, and Sarah is a people person, and so we should make her our executive director or our development director or whatever. And you are probably pretty good at telling your story, and you are probably pretty articulate. But if you will do the hard work, if you will dig a little deeper, your story can be exponentially more effective, not marginally more effective, but exponentially more effective. But it takes hard work. All right. Now, this particular masterclass is broken down into three modules. It's a little bit, the format of this one is a little bit different than some of the others. This was almost like a mini masterclass, still very good. So it's three modules. The first two are 45 or 50 minutes. The third is a half hour. And then there's a fourth bonus episode. And it's this fourth bonus episode, which is about 10 minutes. It's all it is. It's gold. It's gold. In this bonus episode, he is sitting down with the founder, a co-founder of a nonprofit, Vicky Abadesco is her name. She is the co-founder of a nonprofit called Soul Shop, which works with kids, with schools on emotional intelligence, I guess. They get called into a school when a school has a bullying problem. And Vicky, all right, Vicky Abadesco, I'm watching her on this masterclass, and she's articulate. She tells her story well. Like there's a hook. She's good. She's good at telling her story. It's a powerful story. It's a case study. And for most nonprofits, when you tell your story, it's a good one. But the problem is, after you tell your story, still, even after you tell your story, nobody cares, because there are so many great stories. Like, there's so many great stories. I there's no shortage of them. I'm thinking about this. So she tells the story of transformation, how a little girl was transformed, how a school was transformed. But even after she tells this story, I'm not moved to act. Nobody cares. And maybe you've felt this frustration as a development director, as a fundraiser. Like, have you ever told your story and you're like, do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Like, how do you hear this? And how do you nod and do nothing? I know you must have felt this, right? So here's the problem. People don't care. And I'm not being cynical. I'm not being cynical. People are mostly interested in themselves. Again, no judgment. You are mostly interested in yourself too. And again, like there's a million problems in the world. And so how do I know which one to pay attention to? Do I deal with, do I deal with poverty in Sierra Leone, or do I deal with poverty in Haiti? Or do I deal with injustice in my own community? Or do I deal with trying to make Tuscaloosa more pedestrian and bicycle friendly? Like, there's a million problems in the world. Like, how do I know which one to deal with? And if you want to get people involved in your organization, What you ultimately have to do is make it about them. So after she tells her story, and it's amazing, and she talks about this girl who's lashing out, and she's bullying, she's wreaking havoc on the school, and then they come in, they do their work, and they're able to get this girl to basically just let down her guard and admit that she is hurting herself. She's hurting on the inside, right? Hurt people hurt people. And there's a whole story that she tells of transformation in this school. So instead of sitting down and giving a pitch about emotional learning, she tells a story. But then Michael Lewis, as he's coaching her, and this is what I would do with you if I were coaching you, is I would say, no, don't make it about this little girl. You got to make it about the donor. You have to make it about the person you're talking to right now. So he's pushing her to make it about the listener. And he's like, how can you start with a question? And she suggests something like, you know, maybe I'd start my pitch with, can you tell me what it was like for you growing up? What was your elementary experience like? And he's like, no, make it way more personal. And he says he would start with this question. He says, I would start with either, okay, get ready for this. He says, I would say, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you in elementary school? What's the worst thing that ever happened to you in elementary school? Or this one I think is even more powerful. What's the worst thing you ever did to somebody? Don't you, sitting where you're sitting right now, don't you wish you could take back the worst thing you ever did to somebody? All right, this is suddenly really personal. So right now, my wife and I, we have a brand new client. We're working with a foster home. And I want to show them this 10-minute clip because it's so good. They could talk about how these kids need to grow up in stable homes. They could talk about the stats regarding the societal cost. They could talk about the tragedy of growing up without a home. And we've got to figure this out. But what's the question we would start with? So I think a question we could start with, I don't know if this is where we're going to land. A question we could start with was, or could be like, what's the most vulnerable you ever felt as a child? Like when you were growing up, what was the most vulnerable moment of your childhood? Or like, did you, and what did you do as a result of that vulnerability? How did you behave? How did you act? How did you maybe lash out? Like what happened in your life as a result of that vulnerability? Make it about them, make it about the listener. And then just imagine for a moment that the vulnerability you felt at that moment, maybe it was maybe you grew up in a loving, caring home, but you had this moment of vulnerability. But extrapolate that moment of vulnerability and imagine that your entire childhood felt like that moment. How would your life be different today? And then talk about your mission. How we can make sure that doesn't happen to these kids. It's sort of like, you know, for this nonprofit, when Michael Lewis is suggesting like, what's the worst thing you ever did to somebody? Like, don't you wish you could take that back? Like if this nonprofit had been in that school, they could help me take back that. Like if that nonprofit had been in my school when I was a kid, maybe they could have ensured that I didn't do the worst thing I ever did to somebody, or the worst thing that ever happened to me didn't happen to me. So that's, we're getting closer to making it more personal to the donor. Make it personal, then talk about stats or societal costs, but start with the question, what was the most vulnerable you ever felt as a child? Make it about them, make it about the listener. Imagine if the vulnerability you felt at that moment, extrapolate that. Let's make sure that doesn't happen to these kids. Okay. I am more interested in helping someone avoid an entire childhood or vulnerability after I have tapped into the emotion of a moment of vulnerability in my own life. But for you, in telling your story, I hope you realize that Michael Lewis, who is a great storyteller, he's able to tell these stories not just because he's gifted, although I'm sure he has gifts. He doesn't just happen to have this ability to tell great stories. He works, all right? The books don't write themselves, right? And he talks about like writing all these things out on index cards and being on the floor and rearranging the index cards. What if I started with this? What if I started with this? What if I started with this? What if I rearranged this? What's my beginning? What's my end? He has a couple of fun things. Write on caffeine, edit on wine. Hemingway said, Hemingway gave the opposite advice. Hemingway always said that he wrote with a martini just to get he started with a martini just to get the courage to start. But write on caffeine, edit on wine. That's interesting. He talks about getting into a writing zone. He doesn't have email open. He doesn't have his phone on his desk, so he's not going to get calls and texts. He has a playlist that he rocks out to as he's writing. So you, all right, when have you ever taken your storytelling this seriously? When have you ever gotten down on the floor and arranged the index cards and thought about how you tell your story? And I think that this is the hard work. If you're willing to do some hard work, you can get an exponential jump in your return. Because I think most of us, I'm just guessing you're pretty good at telling your story, but if you would do the hard work, you could get exponentially better. Some other things. Okay, I'm just looking at my notes now. Know where you want to begin and where you want to end. Okay, when you're writing, the end of your book or your story doesn't... He's like, it's not like you just write and you just like magically get to the end. He says you oftentimes will realize what the end is somewhere in the middle, and you've got to like then begin working toward that. It's more than just the close of your story. The ending guides you to an emotional place that informs the rest of the story. So knowing where you're going to end is a big deal. I think this is great advice. All right. I have this note here. Write to someone who you know loves you. Writing to someone you know loves you. I think when a nonprofit is trying to tell its story, he has this advice. Imagine that you are writing to one person who loves you, and he says that for him, he is writing to his mom. He is not writing to his critics. He is not writing to his naysayers. All right, if you are a evangelical organization, you are not writing to atheists. If you are a humanitarian organization, you are not writing to the Ayn Rand Society. Right, like you're not writing to the Reaganomics, a rising tide lifts all boats conservatives. You're right to your people, and open yourself up to criticism by people who don't love you. So the people who don't love you, don't worry about trying to like address their arguments in your writing. Just appeal to the people who really love you. A couple other things I have in my notes. Facts are dry. They don't stick in people's minds. If you give people a good story, they will remember the facts of the story. You're going to organize the data into a story. Okay. I wrote this personal note: pay attention to your curiosity. The story of how he went from writing Moneyball to writing The Blind Side is amazing. Like, he was following his curiosity somewhere else, and the Michael Oher story fell in his lap. I've tried to do this throughout my life. I think I've done a pretty good job. I think for whatever reason, I had this in me that had this ability to follow my curiosity, even when it took me off like safe, well-worn paths. So I can hear Steve Jobs. I love that Steve Jobs Stanford address, right? Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition because they already know what you truly want to become. All right. Hey, as I wrap this up, here's a question for you. Okay, here's the question. Would you like to go through some of these masterclasses with me? Like, what if we watch these? You can watch them on your own, but we did group calls together and we discussed them. All right. I have not fully developed this idea, but it's something I am thinking about. So if you are interested, if you're like, ooh, that sounds interesting, email me. All right. And again, no commitment. I don't even know if I'm going to do this, but I'm thinking about this. Another idea, which I have also not fully fleshed out, is I told Monica the other day, I'm going to roll out an offer where if you purchase Peak Performance Fundraising, so our course, Peak Performance Fundraising, is basically the masterclass of fundraising. In fact, at one point, like when we made Peak Performance Fundraising, like our version, probably 1.2 of this big training that we have, this is going back several years ago, we called it the masterclass because that's what it is. It's a masterclass. And at some point I was like, yeah, maybe we don't want to use that name because we're going to end, guys, because I've been in trademark lawsuits before and it's no fun. So I'm like, I'm going to call my training something else. So as we developed the training further, we eventually at some point, and we're at probably version 4.1 right now in terms of Peak Performance Fundraising. But it's the masterclass of fundraising. So here's the idea. If you will buy Peak Performance Fundraising, we will give you access to masterclass for 1 year. Okay. So buy Peak Performance Fundraising from us. We'll give you access to masterclass for a year. I haven't fully developed this idea, but I'm thinking about it. Again, either one of these, if you're interested, if you'd like to learn more, if you'd maybe even like to shape the way we package these, because that would be smart, right? Rather than me creating a package that I'm not sure you want, you could help shape the package and what it looks like. If you have interest in these things, email me. The email, clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. All right, that's it. That's all I have for you today. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right, Monica here again. If you like what you heard on this podcast, you'll love our online training programs. You can complete our online training programs at your own pace, and you can watch or listen to them from any device. And unlike that last conference you attended, the challenge questions and action steps that come with each of our modules will give you concrete things you can do today to level up as a fundraiser. You'll raise more money than ever before by developing deeper donor relationships than you ever thought possible. So head over to majorgiftsfundraiser.com to buy now. Thanks for listening.